us, no breaks, pumped up, no fakes. We spinning, we winning, we high stakes. We never miss, we all makes. Look at us dudes trying to prove, bringing you news with nothing to lose. Mike, Nick, Tony, Wayne, Method Man, we bring the pain. See, I'ma confess it. We under the pressure. If you looking to find us, we them nothing but niners.
We nothing but niners. We nothing but niners. We nothing but niners. We nothing but
we them nothing but niners.
What is going on, faithful? Bang, bang, Nana Gang. We are back again. Look at that, man. We are back. Look at that. Coldest intro. Breezy dropping bars. I see y'all out there. Look, man, welcome to the Nothing But Niners show. As always, I'm joined by Wayne Breezy and 49ers Mike underscore NFL. You already know those guys. But before we get into everything, we got to go through these formalities real quick. And with that being said, if this is your first time here, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Bang, bang. Nine of gangs right there. Give us a follow on Twitter, Snapchat. That's nothing but nine ERS. Nothing but nine ERS. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. If this is your first time here watching us on Facebook Live, welcome, welcome, welcome. Make sure you guys grant permission to StreamYard so that we can see who's commenting. So if we pull your name up on the screen, it doesn't just say Facebook user. It actually says who you are. So give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram. That's nothing but Niners, all spelled out. Nothing, space, but, space, Niners. Check out our World Wide Web. That's nothingbutniners.com. We got, articles there, images, pictures of you guys, the faithful, a little bit of bios about us, things like that. If you have any other questions or comments or concerns, you can always email us, and that's nb9ers at nothingbutniners.com. And, guys, go get that fresh NB Niners apparel. Right there. Look, that's a Super Bowl shirt right there. Mike got a Super Bowl shirt on also. In the black, I got the gray one on. I know Breezy got a red one or a white one. One of those. And but that is shopnb9ers.com, guys. And that is all we got for the intro. Mike, what's going on, my man? Unmute. Nope. No sound. Breezy, what's going on, baby?
Mike had that junk all right. He had his whole joint and his junk wasn't plugged in. Hey, man, it's good to be back, man, for another show, man. We was here with Tony last night, man, and we was just dropping bars on the show last night, man, having a great time. I can't wait to get into this show, man. This is a defensive back show. This is something that I love to talk about. All right, we're going to talk about the secondary all day, every day. How you say it, baby? Let's get it.
Right, Mike, you done with messing around with your microphone over there, man?
All right, I'm in here. Y'all got me now?
We got
Mike,
you.
I'm playing with Mike. I got it.
See, I don't want to pass the buck or nothing like that. God bless my family. They tried to hook up with microphones. And the back of the snowball, you know how it's shaped like a U?
Yes, sir.
They had the U upside down. It was jammed in there. That's why, okay. But like I said before, click, click, boom. What's going on, faithful? We in here, man. Let's go. Make some noise. Let's go, man. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to debate. I got mad energy, y'all. I love y'all, man. I want to start with love. I love y'all, man. Let's do this.
It's all love, baby. Nothing but love.
Yeah. Look, man, I know you're rushing home from work and, got all those things. And, I seen Trent Williams was on Instagram Live today with Kiana.
Crazy.
I didn't get to see all of it because somebody decided to call me during watching it. But
don't worry, I watched it for both of y'all, man. I got the whole scoop and kit and caboodle and on that joint.
For some reason now, Mike, that you're live, we're getting feedback again.
Are you serious?
I told you. It was Mike's Mike.
No, it says feedback from Nick.
Yeah, because I'm talking and it's feedback. It's coming back at us.
All right, hold on here. How about this?
Nick is echoing, see?
I got my mic somewhere across the other room, yo. That's how crisp and clear it picks up.
All right, I'm going to go on.
Much better. No, that was much better. No delay. There you go. All right, man.
Click, click, boom.
Bang, nope. Bang, not again. How come I don't get no dope gun intro, yo? Uh-oh. Woke up this morning. Uh-oh. I got myself a click, click. All right, never mind. All right, listen, man. The Trent Williams interview was pretty cool, man. It was nice and fun. Shout out to our girl, Kiana Martin. I mean, she did her thing, man, with that interview. But you know, the thing that intrigued me the most about the interview, fellas, was she asked the question, yo, like, what made you like 49? Like, why the 49? You know what I'm saying? He was like, yo, this was his number one choice. like he had other offers on the table. As you can see, he kindly declined one that we know about with the Minnesota Vikings. But he said once he knew that it was a opportunity for him to come here, this is where he wanted to be, man. And he's reunited, and it feels so good. He's reunited with Kyle, man.
The biggest thing before we jump into this CB talk and this DB talk, I should say, because this is the whole defensive backfield. The funniest thing that I saw him say was, you know, what was your take on the 49ers the whole year? And he said, You know, the Niners I got to watch the Niners pretty much all year long. I was kind of spoiled with that because they had a lot of primetime games. He's like, but the biggest thing I took away from it is that, you know, it's a coach in, like, basically a coach in their own, as in they follow the coach's suit, and they had swag. So another guy saying that Kyle Shanahan has swag, and, you know, he said that he's always had swag, even when he was younger with Washington. He would have the matching Jordan shorts with the Jordan shoes, and he was just – he's like – he's the first coach that I've ever seen as a NFL meme with matching Jordans and matching Jordan shorts. So it was pretty funny. But I'm going to have to catch up with it later and see what all of the stuff that he said. But look, man, we got to go into this DB talk, right? Because Mike posed the question yesterday, and I wasn't on the show, and he posed the question as to why did we give the 49ers a grade of A? You know, were we, you know, did we pull the trigger a little too fast with giving them A's? And, you know, I heard you guys all talk about it, and we didn't really dig into it, but I want to dig into that today a little bit and see what everybody's thinking, because I know you guys didn't dig into it a lot, but I don't think we were premeditated with giving an A. And I'll tell you why, but I want to hear what you guys have to say as well.
Well, I guess since I'm in the middle, I guess I'll go first, you know, because Mike, I feel like Nick is on one end, Mike's on the other end. And I'll just be in the middle. It's all good. All right. So check this out, man. Like, the A was given because of the way we drafted. You know, it was the positions that we drafted. It was where we drafted. And I thought that the 49ers nailed each and every one of the positions in the draft. I hope I'm not taking anything from Nick's points, but he said I could go first. So the 49ers got an A for me. I think I was the first one to give it the A. From the jump, it's like they never took their foot off the gas. It's like even when we thought they were going to take their foot off the gas, they like just accelerated much, 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 much more faster. Like, right, they got in that round where they traded for Trent Williams, and then they kept adding pieces. There was only one stump of the piece, which when Mike comes into play, when Mike's question comes into play, it was that one round when we drafted Colton McKivitz, right? And that was my only question, because we had just acquired Trent Williams. And I said to myself, I wonder why we didn't go cornerback, because that was another need. So I felt like they addressed, if we're talking about just the draft, not the undrafted pieces, if we're talking about just the draft, the first seven rounds, I think they A'd it, right? They got an A on it, right? But they did forget to address a piece. Now, they did in the undrafted pool throw in some DBs. So I get where Mike is coming from with the question, but I don't think that we premeditated and gave him the A too prematurely or anything like that. Nah, man, we gave him an A from how John Lynch, like, did his draft board.
I think we gave him an A based off of draft manipulation, and that's deserving. The way he maneuvered around this draft board, the up and down, you traded something to get something so you could trade back up, and then you could use the other half of another trade so you can get this part of this piece, and now you got your tackle that replaced this. All of that was so impressive. I feel like we flat out ignored everybody's third biggest need. Everybody's. Breezy, you had DT, wide receiver, corner, right? I had wide receiver, corner, something else. Nick had something, corner.
Offensive line.
Right. Like, everybody had corners their top three needs. Everybody did. We ended up with 5 picks. We physically had our hands on a total of 9 picks. We started with 7. with the players that went away, we acquired another pick. Some of them we just moved around. You get what I'm saying? We physically had our hands on 9 picks. Okay? If we're looking at just the picks, I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Look, I'm getting feedback again.
Are you serious? You for real?
Yeah, I'm for real.
All right, now my microphone's on the couch. It's not even near the computer.
Well, I'm echoing.
Now we're not getting feedback.
So, all right. Look, you have a point there, right? And Breezy talked about it, and he thinks that, you know, he gave him an A for the draft itself, right? What they did, where they picked. I'm not taking my grade down because they didn't draft for something that they need this year. And they got guys as undrafted guys, as well as re-signing Dante Johnson, Jason Verrett. Mm-hmm. Sherm is still here. You know, Kaywan Williams is still here. You know, Akello is still here. Like, all these guys are still here. And right now we're talking about I asked you on a show earlier this year, what is our biggest need right now? Right? And our biggest need right now was not defensive back. In the 2 first rounds, it was defensive tackle. Right. And it was receiver. And that's what Wayne said. Right. I thought offensive line a little bit more. Obviously, we were talking about offensive line due to Joe Staley being retiring. Right. This is before he retired. So we did take 2 positions of need. And we also drafted all other needs that we thought that we would draft other than corner. And what they did with those picks was, you got to remember, we lost that 4th round to move up and grab Brandon Ayuk at the end of the first round. Secondly, so now we go for 2 first. We gave up our 4th to move back into the first, up in the first. Then you go to a 5th. You go to a 6th and a 7th, or two sevenths, right, at that time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 sevenths at that time. Then we traded a 7th round pick this year, and we acquired a 5th and Matt Breida, right? So we got rid of Matt Breida and a 7th for acquiring a 5th round pick, correct?
Right.
Okay. So then we, in the 5th round, we took Colton McKivitz, right? I can always never say his name. Colton McKivitz.
You got it right.
Colton McKivitz as an offensive lineman, right? And then 6th round, we took a tight end, right? So that addressed offensive line, just in case. You know, we couldn't land Trent Williams, which obviously we did for that 5th round pick, right? So then you draft a tight end in Charlie Warner, and then you draft another receiver. So we addressed the receiver spot more than we should have. Then we picked up defensive backs in the draft after the draft as undrafted guys. Now, just because they weren't drafted, we still addressed it in the draft process. Now, undrafted guys are still part of the draft process. We just didn't waste a pick on them. We hit other positions of need more for right now at this time. We need that third quarterback. We need that third tight end. We need that receiver. We needed that defensive tackle. So all the positions that we needed right now, we addressed. And that's why I give them an A, especially bringing back guys who are already familiar with this defensive stance.
Yeah, so, like, I totally agree. It's like I get both of your sides, though, and I hate to play the middleman, but I'm leaning more toward where Nick is going for the simple fact that, like, yo, we addressed the positions. Now, let me ask you this hypothetical question, Mike, because when we did our draft boards, these were our needs, right? These were what we felt the 49ers needed. Why? Because we're looking into the future, right? We're looking into 2021 prematurely. Oh, this guy's coming off the books. This guy's coming off the books. That guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. I'm going to say that like 6 more times. And then we got one that's like clearly on the books, right? We don't know who we're going to re-sign that's already there. So with that being said, like, we decided that, yo, we need to go ahead in this draft and address the cornerback position. Now, what if that was John Lynch's and Kyle Shanahan's plan, but the guys they wanted were gone, and they went a different route. So there's so many possibilities. The only curveball that they threw at me, and maybe you guys hit this curveball because I clearly swung and missed on this joint, was the simple one that they drafted Colton McKivitz. Not that I don't want him. Not that he's not going to be a productive player or make the squad. It's just that we had just acquired a left tackle and we drafted a right tackle. And we have a right tackle. So that was the only head scratcher. It was almost like last year when we drafted the punter in the fourth round. Now, we knew we were gonna need a punter, but we just didn't know we were going to acquire a punter so early in the draft when usually they wait to the sixth or seventh round to get one. So I don't know, Mike, but all I know is I want to talk about these DBs because maybe we should have.
Yeah, let's do this, man. We got some images that we want to show with you guys. And while we're getting that ready, Tony made a really great point last night, and it should have been mentioned on the show. I wish he was here to join us tonight. But he said if we had have drafted AC in the seventh round, we would say they addressed it. He said, wouldn't we give them credit for addressing it? So because we got him as an undrafted free agent, shouldn't we still get that same credit? So, I mean, I guess that was a fair take. That was a perspective I never looked at. But this is why I thought that it was something that we should address this year. So let's get these images up here. What is it under?
All right, so under brand overlay.
Who are we starting with?
Let's just start top, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. So you guys see here, this is going to be Jason Verrett.
That's Jason Verrett.
Now, grades be damned, okay? He came in, what, for all of 12 snaps or something like that. But we see when his contract is up, 2021. It's over for him then. That's it. All right. And if I'm looking at his numbers from last year, I know he only took a couple of snaps. Damn, he didn't even make the stat sheet. So
because he didn't do anything. He just took some snaps, got beat on two plays, came out.
He definitely got targeted, but he didn't do anything with him. So yeah. So that's Jason Verrett. But again, look at the year right here, 2021. Okay,
that's
so
important.
Who's the next guy that we have up there? Next guy is going to be number 38, right?
36. That's Dante Johnson,
36. I'm sorry, that's my guy. Okay, if you look at Dante Johnson's numbers from last year, can I put this thing in order of position? But yeah, there he is, Dante Johnson, right? He's a free agent also at the end of this year. He just came back on that 1 year deal, no stats worth noting at all. Again, he was just a rotational guy, okay? He played in – how many games did he get in there? He was active for seven games.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he only played in one.
Yeah. He only played in one game, yo.
But he was on – yeah, but he was active for seven. Right. He only had one game with a couple of snaps in it. Like, and that, like that, these are the things that are, like, driving me crazy, you know? It's like, who are the guys that we're going to be dependent on? All
right, let's talk about these two guys. Why? Because they're veterans. So let's talk about maybe their role and maybe why they will resign for one more year. Maybe that's important for us to kind of like, you know, kind of break down just a little bit, right? Because, all right, you got Dante Johnson, you got Jason Verrett. Both of these guys have played in the NFL for some years, right? Dante Johnson has been with the 49ers, and I think he went to the Bills, then the Chargers, and then back to the 49ers, right? So he's been in the league since 2014. Clearly, he has some veteranship. Isn't there some type of veteran minimum rule? I don't know. Money-wise, you can kind of like offer these type of players that haven't like superseded things like that. So let's just talk about Dante Johnson's prototype, right? Because Dante Johnson is the prototypical type defensive back in this Robert Saleh's defense, right? So we know that he's been misused before, but when he came in, did he not? Like, it's weird that I can't find stats on him because I could have swore he came in and had like at least a pass breakup in the Super Bowl or something. Like, it was a game he played and we were like, oh, snap. Like, it was Dante Johnson. Like, so, and that was when he re-returned back to the 49ers. So, if you guys can have that stuff, man, pull it up, man, because we need to talk about Dante Johnson, bro.
I will say that the stats that I have for him are only for the regular season. I don't have postseason information.
Okay, so maybe.
You could absolutely be right.
All
right,
so maybe that's why I can't find anything because I'm only looking up regular season stats.
Yeah, you're probably right with that one. But yeah, you know, like, so you know, this is gonna be a fun thing, and I like going through these guys one by one. I can't wait to see who else we have on here. But I agree with you, Wayne. These guys had to be brought back for a reason. Nick, Dante Johnson, Jason Verrett, two of the guys that most people say were at the bottom of the totem pole for the DB room. Why do you think that the Niners brought these guys back?
Look, I mean, obviously, I think they brought them back because Jason Verrett didn't really get an opportunity because he rushed back from injury, obviously came in and played, what, three snaps? Got burnt, and then everybody was just like, oh, God, just get rid of him, blah, blah, blah. You know, but this guy has talent. Like, we talked about this with Jimmy Ward years and years and years for Jimmy Ward, and it's like he just couldn't stay healthy, right? And Jason Verrett's kind of had the same type of career. You know, when healthy, the dude is a lockdown corner, right? You don't just lose talent. Obviously, you can lose speed and things like that, but I think that they still believe in something that Jason Verrett can bring to the table for this team, and it's another year prove it deal, right? So he didn't really get a chance to prove himself fully on that 1 year deal, right? It was very minimal money. The same with this contract, very minimal money. You bring a guy back who has the talent level, but you're not sure who he is. Look at Richard Sherman, right? We brought him in that first year was an experiment year, right? He bet on himself because he was coming off a major injury. Same thing with Jason Verrett. So, you know, I think they bring back Jason Verrett because they see potential in him. And if he gets that opportunity to touch the field healthy, completely healthy, and not re-injure something, then there's a possibility of him being something here for a few years, right? Secondly, Dante Johnson came in and filled in admirably, right? So obviously you had the down year with Akello Witherspoon. He was back and forth from the bench. Emmanuel Mosley came in and was a guy that, you know, people are saying should start over Akello Witherspoon. And then Dante Johnson comes in for that depth piece. He knows the system. He's been here. He's played in it. And when he was out there this year, he wasn't that bad, especially preseason. And I'll give him the props. And I'm not a big Dante Johnson fan. So, you know, I think those are two reasons that they bring him back. System familiarity and potential in Jason Verrett. So it's the same as Jerick McKinnon.
I like exactly what you were saying. They were definitely guys in the system, experience, especially for Johnson. He's been here for more than one season. The preseason, he shined, and you got Jason Verrett. Everyone just had their fingers crossed. And if Jason Verrett can come back and be healthy and get his football legs under him, I think the Niners are excited about it. So, you know, I think the Niners are excited about, you know, what's going on. It's just so puzzling, man. With all these guys, we're going to go through the rest of these images. Everybody's numbers are up in 2021. Or I think there's one guy, 2022.
Yeah, we'll save him for last.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll get.
Well, there's two guys.
There's two guys.
There's two guys for 2022, and or I believe Jimmy Ward and
okay,
somebody else. So
and Tavarius Moore, I think. All right, so we'll come back. We'll get to them though. But let's keep the veteranship going. All right, let's talk. This is what I want to talk about because I'm reading in these comments, man, and everybody's thinking this is Sherman's. This is it. This is it. This is it for Richard Sherman. Is this it for Richard Sherman? Do the 49ers find a way to extend this guy's contract? Do you guys want them to extend this contract, Mike and Nick? Like, what do you feel, man?
I think the Niners, look, I mean, we see the grades here. Richard Sherman also led the team in passes defensed. With 11, I mean, and he was barely thrown to, you know what I'm saying? This is I guess so. Why not, right?
I mean, can I just read these numbers? I mean, am I reading this right? And correct me if I'm wrong, right? Was he first out of 112 quarterbacks on a defense grade? And was he first out of 114 quarterbacks in coverage grade? Is that, am I reading that right?
Based off of PFF last year, that's correct.
And we're okay, so we see him get he got burnt on a couple of plays, right? Probably three at the most that we watched last year.
But see, that's the thing. So many people hold Richard Sherman to accountable.
Talk your shit.
And you know, we talk about this with receivers, right? We talk about, well, receivers drop passes, and everybody's like, well, all receivers drop passes.
Talk now.
Quarterbacks get beat too. Like, it's just, look, I think defensive back and corner is the hardest position to play on the football field. One, you have no idea what route they're running. Two, you have to be able to transition and switch your hips and get upfield with a guy, especially if you're not match speed, right? It's not a matchup. It's not a matchup.
Guys, I think we need to phone a friend. I'm going to phone a friend, and I think he could kind of give us a little bit of insight on this joint. So I got my phone right here. Let me pull out this phone.
All right, well, you do what you got to do. Go ahead and keep breaking it down, man.
So, you know, Richard Sherman to me is an integral part of this defense, right? And this is the reason I wanted to say on the show last night is a reason that I don't think they completely address everything, right? I think there's still a possibility of Sherman coming back on a 1 or 2 year deal. I don't think he's done playing football, right? And secondly, the leadership there is tremendous for what he does for the young DBs. So you draft guys next year. You can get Richard Sherman back in here. You still have Emmanuel Mosley under contract, I believe. And then you just groom these guys. So Richard Sherman was ranked 90.3 in the defensive grade. Now, run defense, I don't know where they get 78, because every time the run came to his side, I seen him make a tackle.
Right? Like, so he's a willing tackler in the run game.
He is a very willing tackler. I don't know where this defensive grade comes from. Obviously, it's PFF, but I don't know how they grade. I told you before, we need to get a PFF guy on here to figure this out. But I would have put him up in the 90s as well for run defense, because every single time I seen a runner come his way, he made a tackle.
He made a tackle. It was one time, I think, he didn't make the tackle, and I think it was because he got shifted to one side and they just came across the wrong way. But that's the one thing I love about Sherman. He is not afraid to put those pads on a running back, man. Listen, I phoned my friend. He should be joining us very shortly. I can't wait to have him on here. Breezy. All right, listen, this is going to be a great show, man. He is an expert when it comes to defensive backs.
Man, whatever. Stop trying to build him. Whatever,
listen, man, I'm trying to tell you, yo.
You called Little Pete again, didn't you? Stop calling Little Pete.
Little Pete wouldn't answer this phone. Listen, he's an expert when it comes to DBs, man. So when he comes in, we are going to have a great freaking time picking his brain. All right? I can't wait today. Guess who it is.
Let's talk about Sherman. Do you think there's a possibility that the Niners look to re-sign him? And would you want him to be re-signed after the 2021 season? Now, obviously, that goes with what it said this year. You know what I mean? How he plays this year. But at this moment right now,
let me ask you this question to answer your question, right? Or let me ask them, not you, because I want to answer your question. Come on, man. Richard Sherman going into his final year of his contract. We all know how Sherman plays when he's betting on himself. We all know how Sherman has progressed. If you listen to what John Lynch said, he said, yo, when we signed Sherman, we knew what we were going to get. We knew he was going to have a recovering year, and he played at the level we expected him to play at the year after the recovery. Listen, Sherman is going into the final year of the contract. This contract was set up specifically for Sherman to perform. He has proven. I want to slap the smack out of myself because I didn't know that he was ranked number one and number one out of two big categories when it comes to your defense. To answer Nick's question, because I can go off tangent and I apologize. To answer your question, my brother, I absolutely think that they will sign Sherman to a 3-year extension. He will finish his career in San Francisco. I don't want to see him move to safety. I don't care if he gets burnt. You put a fast safety, you put a safety on top to cover all over top of him. Sherman is still going to make sure he will be the smartest guy on the defense. I don't hear Arizona Cardinal fans talking about getting rid of what's that guy? That
Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, I don't hear that shit. Sorry, apologize to the kids, but I don't hear that. Like, and he get burnt. He get toasted, burnt, beat up, but he still performs high at a high level. I think as long as Sherman performs at a high level, he can give you 3 solid years. You guys, let me just, if Joe Staley could have continued to play at a decent level, no one would have tried to get rid of Joe Staley. No one.
But no one tried to get rid of Joe Staley because he played decent. No one tried to get rid of him.
But that's what I'm saying, Mike. That's what I'm saying, bro. So if we're not trying, why would we want to move on from a guy like Sherman who's playing better than decent?
Well, and that's what I said. A step back from number one is still top 10. Keep him. Keep him. Take a step back.
I try not to curse.
Take a step back, bro. Like, who am I to say? Listen, I told you, I think he's susceptible against the deep ball and all that. Right now, we got the defensive line that says they don't have time to try to deep ball on him. And we got the help. Like, let's keep him there. Keep him there. I heard people talk about moving safety and all that. I don't want to do none of that. Keep him there. Let that man eat. And when he take a step back, he's still going to be top 10. What up, Similac? I see you. But you get what I'm saying? Like, let's, you know, keep that thing moving. They don't need to. Why move something that's working so well? You know what I mean?
Right. Look, and you know, you brought up Joe Staley in that conversation. And Joe Staley knew that his play was declining. He said by the time the Super Bowl came, his neck was just – it wasn't the same.
Oh, man.
Right? So – You know, he said that there was plays where he just didn't feel right. And, you know, so he obviously walked away from the game because of health issues, obviously. But, you know, with as regards to Richard Sherman, I mean, what you get from him in return, not even just play wise, but leadership wise, the ability to teach younger kids, right. You know, is well worth it. You give him that. You know, you give him a if the CBA and everything goes through next year and we get that extra cap space, right? We don't have many guys that we need to re-sign to keep this team together. It's basically defensive backs, and you give George Kittle an extension. That's pretty much it. And if you bring Trent Williams back, that's pretty much all that you need to bring back. A, extension for George Kittle. B, Trent Williams signature or signing. I said signature. Signing. And three, the defensive backs. So you got two corners and a strong safety.
I'm not laughing at you, but you did the old cliche A, B, and three. Like you did the old cliche. I love it. Hey, man, look, those are three staples that you want on three different levels, right? You got your passing game with your tight end, who's a pass catching blocking tight end that could run and do all those crazy things. So you want to bring him back. He's your most athletic superstar type player on the offense. He is the thing that makes the offense go. You bring him back. Then you bring back the guy that needs to protect your franchise quarterback. So you got to find a way to re-sign him. So I agree with you again. You make a way, you find a way to get Trent Williams to sign, to finish their careers. Guys, we're talking about, everybody complains and says, oh my God, we got to win now. We got to do this. We got to do that. And listen, aren't they trying to do that? Like, they went out. They got pieces. Look, let's win now. Let's secure the future. If you can get these veterans on a, you know, and Kittle is not a vet. Well, he's a vet, but he's not like your older vet. If we could get these guys on those long-term, you know, end their career contracts and get Kittle on a nice scale contract to be the best tight end to ever play this game of football. Listen, man, I don't think the window is 3 years or 2 years or 1 year, whatever y'all say the window is. I think that the 49ers are looking to build their dynasty over again. If you remember the 80s, when, you know, some of us were born and the 49ers were winning, it wasn't just that they went back to back to back. They were the New England Patriots of that decade, okay? Mm-hmm. They were going to the Super Bowl, you know, every other year, yo. They were in the NFC Championship, like, every year. You know how hard that is? It's just that when the salary cap came, it changed up football just a little bit. I know Mike's been itching to talk, but I'm excited, man. This is dope.
Let's get back to these graphics, man. So Richard Sherman, but we're talking about him, but look at the bottom line right there. 2021 again. You get what I'm saying? Let's keep it moving. Another guy who was rated top 10 in everything. Again, how is his run defense 37? Like, PFF is crazy with some stuff. Who is the better run stopper at the – come on, bro. Like, this guy is insane.
I think it's out of all the cornerbacks, though, Mike.
I get that, but you're telling me that there's 31 other guys
tackling? Yeah, because now all the guys play the nickel. So if you got guys that are on the field more, they're getting more chances at run stops, right? He's coming in on your third downs, your fourth downs, and stuff like that to cover. So you're not going to see him. He does make the tackles. He does get the tackles, but I think there's that's out of 111 guys.
I've said this to Mike before. I believe Kaywan Williams is the best tackler on this defense.
Okay.
That's what and that's what I don't understand, how they got his run grade like that. I mean, it's cool. It's not disrespectful. It's better. It's top 50. You know, I mean, you know, top 35. So it's not disrespectful, but Kaywan Williams is the man. He is the best nickel corner in the entire NFL. I mean, he's seventh overall in defense and fifth in passing.
Was he undrafted, guys?
Huh?
No, he got drafted to the Browns, I believe.
To the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, if you remember, this has been my guy for years, you know, and everybody's like, you know, well, he's great if he keeps things in front of him, you know, and his coverage ability right here is still, you know, 13th out of 114 cornerbacks.
Right.
And I think that Kaywan Williams, I've said this, I've preached this for years since we've been on the show even, that – I think he's one of the best, if not the best nickel corner in the NFL mm-hmm. right now. And his last 2 years, he's earned that name of Shark, right? He just eats. He definitely eats. And the things that he does is just sometimes I'm just impressed, like, okay, Kaywan Williams, like, this kid is a dog. This is a guy that I hope that we re-sign, and I hope he gets a 3-year deal. You know, I hope he gets at least a 3-year deal and he stays here with the Niners. And he's got a lot of familiarity with Kyle Shanahan as well from Cleveland. So to me, this kid is a dog. I think he's a, you know, on my A priority list to bring us in as a nickel corner and continue to be here.
And before we get to the next guy, someone said, Mike, don't forget Bill Walsh drafted 3 players in the secondary in 1 season. And it worked out pretty damn well for him. It really, really did. All right, let's keep this thing moving here, guys. The next guy here, my man Reed Jr., okay? Now, his grades aren't – he didn't do enough to qualify because he came in and he filled in at nickel for Kaywan, but you can see there's solid grades here. There's solid grades according to PFF. But again, now he's here for 1 more year, okay? He's one of the 2 guys that is here until 2022.
Mm-hmm.
But we have gone through – he's the 5th person we got. And he's the first one that after this season ends isn't here – is here now. Like, that's it. Okay? Any other thoughts on him before we keep it moving?
You mean after next season ends?
Yeah. No. He's the only person that's going to be here when this current season ends.
Gotcha.
Coming season ends.
Gotcha.
Him and one other player, DJ Reed. But, like, that's it.
Hey, man, listen. He plays nickel. He's also a return guy. And I mean, when he was in returning the ball, I felt more of a like, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, no shots to our boy. But he just has a nag to, like, you know, try to get those extra yards and things like that. I think that he improves come this particular season. Uh-oh, I think my phone a friend is connecting right now, guys. All right, so listen, I'm gonna bring my phone a friend in, man. And we're gonna talk to him.
Get him to turn his phone the other way. Turn it landscape real quick. We got his graphic up and everything, man. Let's just, I can't believe Breezy flexed it like this, man. Hold on. Let's do this here. Let's see if we can get him in.
DJ, what's going on, DJ?
Can you hear us?
Can't hear your audio.
What's up?
There we go.
There we go. Ivan, can you turn your phone landscape way? So
let me see.
There we go.
There we go.
All right, got that full screen action going. What's going on, man? Listen, man, we're talking about DBs for the 49ers, man. And our initial question was, why didn't the 49ers address the DB position in the draft? And since you are the DB, we want to know from your perspective why you think they probably didn't address the DB position in the draft. We would love to get the scoop from you.
I think it was a few reasons. For one, I feel like we're already stacked. You know, we got Eman, we got Sherm, Kello, me, JB. You know, we got Tim Harris coming off a redshirt year. And, you know, we got guys you guys probably haven't even heard about. Tease Tabor, he was a second-round draft pick. he did a great job last year on the practice squad, same as Jermaine Kelly. So I just feel like we got a lot of depth. And it'll be hard for a rookie to come in and make the 53, in my opinion. And, I mean, we played well, the DB group, last year too. So I feel like our whole defense is pretty stacked.
All right, now. Yeah, we hear you.
Hello?
Big dog. Yep, hey, we can hear you.
My fault, I'm in an interview. My fault. All right. Hey, yeah. I think it froze, though.
You got us?
Hello?
Can you hear us? We got you now. We got you now. You know, you mentioned a lot of those guys, Tabor and you know, can you hear us? DJ, you got us?
Yeah, I'm up, folks.
Let me back him out and try to bring him back in real quick. Hold on. Let's see if that works.
DJ, you got us?
It sounds like there's a little delay on his end.
Oh, man.
Give me a thumbs up if you can hear us, bro.
Yeah, it's bad signal. I could, my fault. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Yep, we got you now. We got you now. You can give us a thumbs up if you can hear us. Can you hear us?
I don't think you can hear us, guys. All right, we'll try to see if we can get him working again. Look at Breezy with the flex, bringing in DJ Reed, man. Like,
hey, man, you know, a connect is a connect, man, and now we can all share the wealth, baby. Now, listen.
Let me phone a friend and gonna call the guy whose graphic is up on the screen.
Listen, you heard him say that they were stacked. I hope that satisfies Mike's constraint, right, Nick? Because he said, listen, we stacked.
Yeah, DJ, you got us now? Do you got us now? All right, so.
Like, I can't hear him, so.
Oh, man. All right, well, hopefully he gets to watch us back. We want to thank him for popping in here. That's no fault. That's a little glitch there. It looks like he was in a place with high walls and stone walls, so it might be the signal thing. It might have been the reception. So there's not gonna be much we could do with that. Yeah. But I
apologize, guys. I'll try to call him back, see what he says.
That was still pretty tough, man. I like that. I like that, man. It's cool. Breezy, man. All right. Weird flex, but okay. I'm gonna let that slide. Let's get back to the show though, man. Wait.
He's coming back. He's back. That was quick.
Gotta pop in again.
DJ, can you hear us now?
It's the sports beer.
All right, you can hear us.
So,
B, my guest. B is capitalized.
Hold on, real quick, bro. Hold on.
All right, no worries.
You said be my guest.
Be my guest. The first letter.
I don't think we're supposed to hear that on air. I'm not sure.
I think he was trying to get in, and it was something about because he was being the guest. You know how you gotta. We gave up. There you go.
Might be sharing somebody's Wi-Fi password, y'all.
can y'all see me?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Can we hear? Can you hear us?
All right. We got some signal, I believe.
All right, perfect.
Flip it upside down for us, bro.
I can't see you guys though. But can you guys see me?
He's right side up on my screen.
Oh, y'all. All right. If he's right on y'all screen, then cool. Okay. All right. We got you now. Can you hear us? We good?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you said that there's a lot of dogs in the building already that a lot of people don't know.
I mean,
about
I can't see them, but they said they could see me, but I can't hear them for some reason.
Oh, he can't hear
them. I don't know what's going on.
If all right, hold on. We're gonna try to get him back in here. I'm gonna try to have him back out and come back. DJ, you there? No. Try.
I'm on the Wi-Fi, but the signal is not.
I just muted his mic so we don't hear him.
Oh yeah, we should have been doing that. But how are we gonna know if he's talking to us?
Because I
can you hear us?
Hey DJ, if you could try to back all the way out from the beginning and then re-click on the link, that might refresh everything.
Okay. If this doesn't work this time, could I just do this when I get home? Because I got better signal.
Yeah, we can have. Yeah, that would be great.
That'll work.
All right, for sure. I'm going to do it again for y'all.
All right, that's cool. So, all right, he's going to try that again, guys. We're gonna put his graphic back up here real quick. But y'all see, this is the first guy that's going to be on the roster until – oh, I can't – there's another banner up there. But he's the first first patient. Look at me thinking work. He's the first guy that's up there for 2022, all right? I mean, and he said it. Let's see if we can get him back in here now. He's loading up real quick. But he said it, you know, there's dogs in the building. Just because people don't know their names doesn't mean that, you know, it won't work. Let's see if we got him now. Guys?
Mike, check.
Yeah, I see y'all.
You can hear us?
Woo!
I can hear you guys. All right, sweet, so, sweet, sweet.
So you said that there's dogs in the building, man. There's people that, you know, a lot of fans don't quite know about yet because they haven't had a chance to see them or anything like that. How'd you feel when you saw that the team didn't address the position? Like, is it a vote of confidence? Is it like, all right, we got to step up? Like, what's the mindset at that point?
For me personally, you know, I'm just taking this time to get better. So whether or not they did draft the corner, I still would have the same mindset and I would have approached the game the same way. But I mean, seeing them not drop the corner just means that they're confident with obviously who we have. And we're a confident set of guys in the DB room. And I forgot to mention, we got KK as well. So, I mean, we got a lot of dogs in the room.
Wait, who was KK?
Kwan Williams.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Shark. Shark.
We were just talking about
Shark. Yeah, that's the first time I've heard of him as addressed as KK. So I always
hear that's what we call him. Yeah.
Yeah, I always hear him as Shark or you know, KW or, you know, you hear people say different things. So KK, I said that one of my favorite dogs on the team, him too, as well, you know. But, you know, so with them not addressing it, the draft, and you know, that's what we were kind of talking about here is, you know, we don't think that they addressed it because a lot of guys are free agents next year in 2021 coming into next year. But, you know, bringing back Jason Verrett or bringing back Dante Johnson as well, you know, and then obviously Richard Sherman, Akello Witherspoon, yourself, Jaquiski Tart, you know, all these guys that we have. I think we have like 11 or 12 DBs that are in this room as of right now going into this 2020 year. We were talking about why we didn't address it. And a lot of us are saying is because it's not a need at this moment. It's really not. There's a lot of depth and a lot of dogs there. So, you know, and you express the same feeling. So what – you know, let's get a little bit about what you're doing right now. How are you being, you know, treating this whole quarantine thing and preparing yourself for the upcoming season? And what do you expect?
Yeah, I'm training at JOT with Jamal Liggins. Man, we've been getting it in from Monday through Friday and been doing position work as well with Jamal Liggins. And I've been with my bros. I'm out in LA with my bros, Elijah Walker. He played safety at Kansas State, and I'm with my bro, Brandon Zell. He played at San Jose State. He just got ready for the draft process, and I went to JUCO with them. So we just been grinding, holding each other accountable, and we just been living together and it's been straight. So just watching film. We got our iPads sent to us. Just watching films, looking at my get-betters, just going over every game. Obviously looking at my bad plays and seeing what I could have did to get better. Just small little things that I could get better at.
Now you're a Kansas State alum, so is that why you're working with this young man, or is this something that just happened to be at the same?
Yeah. So I went to a JUCO with him. So I went to Cerritos Community College before I went to Kansas State, and that's where I met them, and we're really close friends. So we've just been grinding during this quarantine, and I'm Elijah walking with the Kansas State with me.
That's what's up. Man, you're like what I call a young vet on this team, man. You've been on the team for a few years and you've gotten real field action in the NFL. What would be like your words to the new guys that are coming into the team? You say they got AC and they got some guys that they got brought in undrafted. What would be some of your feedback you could give to those guys?
just to be a sponge, man. It's a lot of veterans in the room that's played a lot, just to soak up knowledge and just be able to take constructive criticism, because we just mean good by it. Like, everybody wants to see everybody do well, whether it's on this team, whether it's on another team. Like, we just want to see you do well on the field. And just to come in with a working mindset. Like, everybody works hard from the bottom of the depth chart to the top of the depth chart. Everybody has that working mentality. And I feel like Lynch and Shanahan, they brought, like, the whole 53 is hard workers.
Yeah. No, just one other question. You know, you were just saying about, you know, the 53 and things like that. What do you think of, you know, you guys just started Monday virtual training, right? And that's a new thing for you guys, right? So how is that whole process going with you guys as transitioning through, you know, starting that training? No OTAs, no mini camps, nothing like that. How is that virtual training going for you guys and the team?
That's a good question. It's been different, obviously, but we met Tony, and we've been, you know, with DB, just in our DB room, and you know, Tony and DB, they're funny guys, but you know, when it's time to get to work, we get to work, and we just been, you know, kind of introducing ourselves because we got new guys in the room, and we're going over our film. We had our meetings today over constructive criticism, what we could have did better. That was today for me. So I was speaking with Tony about that and just taking notes on what he saw I could get better at. And it's been going pretty well this week.
Yeah, I was just want to transition into that one more time real quick. And obviously you haven't met him in person yet, but and you know, do you think that this defensive backfield will leave off in the same position after Joe Woods has left with the new defensive back coach coming in? Or do you see a lot of transitioning, different styles or different play, as in the way they coach?
Oh yeah, I think we're gonna leave off, if not better. Like Tony doesn't want to change everybody. Like, he knows that we're already good. He just wants to polish up some things that we could work on. Like, he's made that clear. And like I said, we got a lot of talent in the DB room, so we really just got to keep working. We can't be satisfied with what we did last year, because this is a whole new year. So we gotta keep grinding right now during this quarantine, and we got the right guys. So, you know, we know everybody's, you know, grinding. We're holding each other accountable.
Cool. All right, man, last question. I promise the last question. This is a fun question for you. All right, so I don't think you realize how much you and the team have brought the whole nation together. Like, you guys brought fun to the world. Like, you brought all the 49er fans from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the new babies. Like, you brought these guys together as one big happy family. But I want to know from you, right? Like, which room has the most swag? Is it the DBs? Is it the wide receivers? Is it the offensive line? Is it the defensive line? Like, which room got the most swag, bro? Because that picture with y'all on the goal line sitting like that and just chilling, that's on my wall, brother. So tell me which room. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You already know what it is. It's DBs, man. You know I'm going to say DBs. It wouldn't be right if I didn't say DBs.
Oh, man.
Most confident, most swagged up. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is.
That's just what it is, man.
But the close next would be the receivers, for sure. Oh. KB, you know, Marquise, you know what I'm saying? Debo, they'd be swagged up. And then our linebackers, Quan make the block hot, you know what I'm saying? Quan be swagged up. You know, my boy Fred be swagged up a little bit too, so.
Yeah. Mike, you got anything to end it? And then
no, I'm gonna let him go, man. We want to thank you for participating, man. We appreciate when people can jump on with us. Is there anything you want to plug? You want to promote anything on social media, a charity, anything at all? So, you know, give us something to binge while we're at home during the quarantine. So, give us anything that you want to promote.
See, I'll just say my bros I've been working with. My boy Elijah Walker, he's a free agent. You know what I'm saying? He ain't been picked up, but he's a dog. Like, we've been, you know, going hard. Same as my boy Brandon Zell, and they looking for a home, whether it's in the NFL, CFL, they just need a shot. They got good film. It's just an unfortunate situation. My bro Brandon, he didn't get to do his pro day this year, so that kind of hindered some things. But, you know, he had four picks. He came off of four pick season. So if they could get a shot somewhere, that would be blessings.
All right.
That's awesome. DJ, man, we really appreciate you joining us here on Nothing But Niners, man. Hope to link up with you again sometime soon. You know, get you back on if you're available sometime, and just talk some football, man. And the faithful are happy that you're here. You know, there's a lot of people talking in the room, you know, talking about your being a dog, you know, just a ton of great things about you. So, man, we really appreciate this time for filling in for the, you know, Breezy, get that phone a friend, you know, but in our phone a friend segment. But we really appreciate you, man. We wish you nothing but the best. You know, try to stay safe out there. Get as much education as you can under your belt right now, as hard as it is. And we thank you for your time, man, and really appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all. My fault for all the bad signals and all that.
It's all good. It happens to all of us, man.
Hey, man, everybody's using the internet these days.
So, stay safe, hard. Brother. Stay safe, man.
All right, DJ. We'll talk to you, man. Thanks. Appreciate you.
Make sure you guys go out and give him a follow on Twitter, guys. He is D7_Reed on Twitter. We will type that into the chat so everybody sees it. If you guys aren't following him already, he's on Twitter, D7_Reed. DJ Reed Jr. Again, brother, thanks for joining me.
That's love.
All right.
All right, y'all.
Peace out, brother.
That's that guy, man. Let's go, Breezy.
Okay. Now, listen, Mike, all I know is he answered your question, bro. You might not be satisfied with it because your brain on drugs, but he answered your question. He said that the room was stacked. From everything he said, the only thing that resonates in my brain is that DB room got swag and is stacked. So talk your stuff now, brother.
I mean, all right. So then what that's telling me, you know, I read too deep into stuff, right? So what that's telling me is some extensions should be coming sometime soon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, however you want to trip this or flip this or crip this, however you want to do it, yo. So that's what that mean.
They got to get these dogs on here then, man. I want to see some stuff going down then. Like, lock up my man. Let's get back to this list, man.
Let's get back to the list.
That was all right, Breezy. I got you, man. I'm gonna one up you,
Mike. Is there any way you can adjust your mic because you're really low?
I turned it low because you kept saying it was feedback.
You need to just
I don't know what else to
you need to transfer your. You need to get a new microphone. That piece has been falling out for like 3 years now.
I got a new one. That's the one you was complaining about. Now, right? Now it's back up and it's nice and loud, right?
It's just one echo, but we can live with it.
And now it's see. So when the microphone's working right, y'all want to tell me about the echo?
Look, just mute when I'm talking.
I'm gonna fight with y'all, man. All right, I see what's happening here.
I think
all
I know what it is, though, Mike. You got to turn your speak. You need to put in some headphones, and if you turn down your speakers, you'll be fine.
Well, all right. How about this? I'm gonna do it. Watch this. Click, click, boom. All right. Somebody,
hey, them. Nothing.
Check, check.
Nothing.
All right. So y'all shut up then and let me talk.
I'm just playing with y'all,
man. It's all love, guys. It's all love. I'm just a little tight. That Breezy's flex was pretty cool, man. I like that, man. All right, we're gonna keep this thing moving here. Now, this guy is another restricted free agent 2021. This is the new fan favorite, Emmanuel Mosley. We see the grades over here. He ranked 30th amongst all corners out of 112. He didn't do enough of a pass rush grade to place there, but his coverage grade was 41st. And he was 24th in run defense. Okay, this is everybody's fan favorite. This is Emmanuel Mosley. Now, here's a little asterisk next to his name because the Niners will still own his rights next year.
Correct.
So he will be in a similar situation as to what Breida.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So Breida and Bourne were this year. The Niners will own their rights. They can place a tender on them. They can flat out extend them. So this is a good guy here. Any thoughts on this young man? All right. So now that
I want to talk about his numbers.
Okay.
So I know his defensive grade is 70.4, but let's look at that 30 out of 112. And then how do you compare this kid to Richard Sherman? Because this is how everyone was, and this is not to spin back on Richard Sherman, but this is what guys were saying. Like, yo, we got Mosley, and I'm happy we got him. He's on one side. But look at that 30. I think Sherman was one, so you got one in 30. Now, 30 is probably good out of 112. Y'all do the math. Just divide it. You know what I'm saying? But do you see a drop there? Not on the field drop, but just in production drop. I mean, on the field, it looks like he's holding it down, right?
It depends on how you want to look at it, man. I'm glad people can't see my face. But, I mean, he's got some growth to have. There's definitely some areas to improve in his game. I'm not ready to compare him to a Richard Sherman. I don't put him on an island. I think he's somebody that we should try to, you know, he needs some guidance on the field. He's a young man, though. You know what I mean? He's got all the talent in the world, and that's what's important. He's got all the talent in the world. And I think that he can take advantage of that talent if necessary and given the opportunity.
And again, man, this kid has proven that he belongs in the NFL, right? I mean, we just heard DJ Reed say, hey, man, I got some guys out there who are looking for jobs. Like, if they got a certain mentality and they can show that they can prove, this guy's living proof, man. This kid went undrafted, y'all, right? This is where Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch likes to find those diamond in the roughs and polish them up nice and get them in their systems, right? This is one of the kids that's done it, yo. I mean, look at him, man. He started in the Super Bowl, in the biggest game of his life. This undrafted rookie started in the Super Bowl. When we win, I can't wait to hear his story.
Oh my God. All right.
Next.
Okay.
All what? Right. Wait, no, you're not. Say
I'm
it.
Not, No, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be that guy.
I think
you know I'm a homer. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you know who I think the best DB is on this team?
Who do you think the best DB is?
Yeah, do you have an idea of who I think the best DB is on
it's,
the team?
It's either Witherspoon or K'Juan Williams.
Okay. All right. Okay, cool. Now, see, I feel like it's me against Mosley.
I don't know how to help
because
him.
I think people feel like I don't like him because, and I'm doing air quotes, he took Witherspoon's job. I feel like people think I don't like him because of that. But I was high on him before he ever touched the field for us. When Nick and I had the interview, he was here. Like, I was high on him from then. So I don't want people to think I don't like this kid. I'm just saying, there's all 22 for a reason. That's all I'm gonna say.
But Mike, the only thing is Emmanuel Mosley poses more consistency than Akello Witherspoon.
He does not.
Right now, yes, he does.
No, he does.
Finally, yes, argument. Let's go.
He does not at all. And I don't want to turn this into a Mosley against Witherspoon thing, but that in particular, he does not. There are times where he's completely lost on the play. I've never seen Akello Witherspoon completely lost on the play. Let's get
no, this right. I can agree with you there. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, just in general, I think that Emmanuel Mosley still has a ton of room for growth and he has a lot of potential. The only thing that I think is, you know, Akello Witherspoon has flashed. He has shown. Huh?
What just happened? I'm sorry. You weren't down there.
Well, I'm down here now, so I don't know. I'm right here. You know, Akello Witherspoon has a lot of potential as well, and he's flashed that. And it's just about getting to that right mindset or getting to that right play of his own to prove that consistency. He's shown us what he has, right? We all had him as defensive back number one coming into that year, and his consistency for some reason just dropped.
And okay, and that's great. Let me don't hold your thought. Don't forget what you're gonna say. That's what has me so high on Witherspoon. Is that when you watch him. When he is playing and he is playing well, he looks like the best DB, forget on the team, in the league. The dude is locked down, bro. He's locked down.
I think that's a little extreme, the league. But
no, I'm standing on it. That's my bar. I'm standing behind that. That's me. But what I'm saying is when he was out there and he was balling, there was nobody better than him. Literally nobody. So now if it's okay for us to say, oh, Mosley has potential. But we can't say Akello has potential. I've seen Mosley and Akello's highest levels, and Mosley's level ain't this one. Mosley's highest level is here, and Akello's highest level that I have seen on the field are two different things. I don't care how many people agree with me. I'm not that
well. There's
guy.
Not many, but you know,
I don't think
it's okay. It's okay. You're standing on that ledge yourself right now. You know.
Yes, sir.
And like I said, I haven't given up completely on Witherspoon. As in, you know, his play, I would just like to see consistency out of him. And, you know, he played those five or six games consistent, and he played like a number one DB in this league. And then he came back and is like, it just wasn't there anymore. For whatever reason it is, I would really love to get him on the show and just ask him and just talk to him about it. And, you know, maybe I have to phone a friend sometime, you know, we'll see, but, you know, but, you know, over the last year, Witherspoon wasn't the person that we all imagined him to be, including coaches.
I won't say the whole last year, because the first five games of the season, he was a lockdown cornerback.
Talk your shit, Breezy.
He was locked down. Matter of fact, he was so locked down. And when I mean locked down, he was – you know how he was getting not burnt, but kind of like getting lost? Like he would do like the wide receivers would run the comeback routes and he would go too deep and then not be able to make a play on the ball. He was making plays on the ball. He was batting down those passes the beginning of the season. And none of us were complaining. Like everyone was like, oh, snap. Then he got hurt. And like you said, Nick, we would love to talk to him so he can finally clear the air on maybe what we think it was, right? So that would be a great phone a friend, man. If you could do that, man, I'd give you $5. Now listen.
$5.
I'll tell you what.
I'll give you $5.
Y'all want to play?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to put my $5 in here. You can send me the $5. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh. Mike, that better not – if Mike is phoning – don't do it. Don't one up on me, Mike. Don't you do it. Not tonight.
Not to. Okay.
He said, don't one up on me. Like, what? Look.
And you know what? He wouldn't even if we did get him on, I'm going to be honest with y'all. You guys have seen him at the podium. You guys have heard him speak and stuff like that. He would not come on here and talk about his play. He would answer our question about why he thinks the team didn't do whatever. Because he's the type of person who I'm going to let my play speak for itself. If people watch the film, they talk about all the touchdowns he gave up. You'll see there's busted coverages, and he's helping other people. That's not his guy. There was right. plays where he was in the corner of the end zone with the receiver, and that guy's locked down. The ball starts going the other way, and he runs across the field to make a play on the ball, and they say, oh, he gave that up. That Cook hit, Cook wasn't his guy. The play where he took Cook out the game, Cook wasn't his guy. He had his guy on lock in the corner of the end zone. Nobody, but, oh, he gave that up. People don't know what they're talking about, and I'm not going to argue with the comments. I'm not that guy. But I'm telling y'all that if you watch the tape, it tells you a whole different story about Akello Witherspoon, bro. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Don't go back and watch the TV copy. You can't see the grand scheme. The TV copy only follows the ball. When they snap that ball and you see who he's shadowing, that'll give you the answer. That'll give you the answer.
I mean, we saw that with Stephon Diggs, too. You know, I mean, look, something happened when he came back from injury. He was not the same player. Whatever it may be. Don't know what it is. You know, like I said, I'm not against Witherspoon at all. I think he has a ton of talent. I think he has the utmost potential. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. This room is deep, though. This room is deep. And you know, final year of your contract, there's a lot of guys that need to prove themselves that are going to be here or they're not going to be here. And that's everybody, including Richard Sherman. So what are you smiling about over there?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I just can't wait for the season to start. I can't, right. Bro, I am going to serve the biggest crow pie ever seen to mankind. Like, I can't wait. I need to find a way to just flat out disable comments when I serve this crow. Like, because nobody's going to own it. Nobody's going to. I cannot wait. I pray that this whole pandemic gets wiped out so we can resume this season. Because I cannot wait. I swear on every. It's, you ever have one of those feelings like hey, bet your mortgage on this one? You ever have one of those feelings like, bro, listen, I got the inside information. It's the one right here, bro. Hey, psst, Martha. Move your money. They about to all that shit. Bro, this is that, bro. This is that. I'm so telling you.
You'll be in jail. We'll be watching the season. All right, here we go. Let's move on, man.
And there he is right there, man. There he is right there. Again, the bottom line is the undrafted, unrestricted free agent in 2021. Y'all see the grades given to him by PFF. They got him as 81st for his defensive grade, 78th for his coverage grade, 76th for his run defense, and they say his pass rush grade is 56.2. That's not enough pass rush attempts to place. Now, that's fine. People said when he first came to the league, he can't tackle, yet he's knocking out Brandon Cook, somebody with how much weight on him, right? But he can't tackle. My man has been helping in the run game, but he can't tackle. They're going to make all the excuses. I'm going to give this one to y'all because I'm going to sound like a homer. So y'all go ahead and talk about it, man.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Listen, man, I touched on him. Like, Akello Witherspoon just regressed. As simple as that. Like he took a step backwards. And it happens, guys. Like it happens. It doesn't mean it's the end all be all for players. If they take a little step backwards, if we look at the beginning of the 2019 season, going in with a healthy Richard Sherman and Nikella Weatherspoon as our starting opposite end of Sherman, we were pretty much like happy, right? And he performed well. Like I think his grades took a big hit due to the games he came back after the injury. And he was just getting, he was just giving up touchdowns in the end zone. He was, he just didn't seem like he was all there. We don't know what it is. So we're not going to get into that argument if it was physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Like we don't know because we haven't talked to him. But I think this is his report card. And I think this is why his report card is what it is. Just being an evaluator of what we saw. Like, so we, even though Mike can attest to him not, to him helping on defense and things like that. We get it, but he still got to make the plays, Mike. Like he still got to make a play. If you see, or if you're helping, you got to make sure that you're, you know, you're still covering your area in the zone, even if it's tight.
Hey, Breezy,
yo.
So you, let's play hypothetical, right?
Let's play hypothetical, bro.
I lock my guy down, right? And I see you miss a step, and I see the quarterback about to throw over there to you.
It's your fault, bro.
Listen to me. I abandon my guy because I already see that the ball's coming your direction. You're not in place to make a play. Here I come. I'm going to try. I'm going to try my hardest, right? When the ball gets there, I miss it by my fingertips. I just barely miss it. It's a catch on national TV, and it was zoomed in on me. And I'm asking you for your honest opinion right now. Who's getting the blame for that by the fans?
The person that they saw on national TV.
Okay. Okay.
And here's the thing. Do you play 2K?
Yes.
All right. So – I'm probably one of the biggest help defenders ever. And guess what? Guess what happens? I go help, right? My guy's left wide open. Basketball's a little different sport. But guess who gets the points? My guy that I wasn't covering because my dumbass went to go reach for a steal or help. So then I got to say to my team, my bad, right? Because I left my position. Basketball's more man-to-man unless they're switching the zone. But, like, because he was seen on TV giving up the play without the semantics or the breakdown of what he actually did, he looked like he was the one that gave up the points. Do you get why the fans see that?
Listen, I understand the fans' outrage. I have said it a bunch of times. I understand exactly why people feel the way they feel. I see it on the TV copy. I'm not going to insult anybody that feels that way. I have said what I've said over and over. Just please go watch the All 22. It is literally free right now on NFL Network. Y'all can do this. Y'all can actually do this. Go out there and please watch the All 22 version. Don't watch the film. It's boring because there's no audio. You know what I mean? There's no crowd noise. They show the stadium. They show a time clock. Then they show the play from an aerial view.
Quick question.
They show it from an end zone view. Go watch the film. Don't sit here and PFF me to death. You already know how I feel about PFF.
Can you guys tell everybody what the hell All 22 mean?
Is it
22 angles?
No. So
it's just all 22. You can see all 22 players on the field.
Okay.
Right. It's an aerial view. It's a bird's eye view from the middle of the field where you can see everything. And then the other end is an end zone side. So you can see the field left to right. Then you can, like, looking down on the field is the other one. And they show each play. It's the coach's film. It's the coach's film.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just all 22 players. But Chrissy 1687, thank you for the donation, man. We really appreciate you. And you're much, you know, welcome. It says, thanks for the show and helping me understand football better. So big shout out to you for supporting us and watching, and we're glad that you can learn a little bit more about football.
I'm glad you took that for football, because I was going to say fullback. What you want to know about the fullback? Like, whenever I see FB, I quickly go to that.
Fullback, Facebook, football.
Right.
But, no, we really appreciate that, and we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Nick, who's our next guy, man? Let's.
Yeah, because this will be a debate all night. All right, man. I'll tell you what, yo. Let's kick off some safeties. All right.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
That's bad. No, your bad is right. Your bad was right. Oh. Let's kick off some safeties. Let's start with the savvy vet. All right. So they only gave Jimmy Ward a 2-year deal.
Yep.
Now you can see his gray. Oh, why don't you read this real quick for my girl?
Yeah, I just want to get this off there real quick so it doesn't get lost in the comments. So, Cinnamonkeys, Cinnamon Kiss. You know, Mike calls you Cinnamonkeys, but much love to you, man. You're an amazing person. I've had the luxury and pleasure of meeting you. So we really appreciate that. It says, love you all for the regular content and working your tails off to provide it. So, look, man, without you guys, we're nothing. We tell you this all the time. So we appreciate you guys and, can't wait to catch up Cynthia and, you know, at another game, hopefully this year, sometime soon, get some more pictures and, spread that love. So go Niners.
Hi, Sin.
Mike. All right, man. So I definitely want to focus on, man. Look at this guy's numbers, man. This is a guy we all wrote off from this team due to injuries, right? This was a guy or a player that we said he just can't stay healthy. How can he want to continue to play football? Matter of fact, didn't he break his forearm or something before the season even started, like, or the very beginning of the season or something like that?
Collarbone, right?
Collarbone. Like, yeah. We were just like, oh, no. But I tell you what, he came back with a vengeance. And look, he earned himself a 2-year contract. And he won't be a free agent until 2021. But let's look at this guy's grades, man. Sixth in defense out of 88 safeties. All right? That's number six. And we all want Jamal Adams, this guy, that guy, whatever, whatever. These are all the safeties, free safeties, strong safeties, right? We're not breaking down these guys and splitting up the categories, right? He's sixth out of all the safeties in the NFL, y'all. Six. I'm not going to say it again. Listen, 84.9 was his grade, man. God, whew. Woo. Now, you don't see him big on the runs, but he saved our boy mostly a couple of times in coverage, right? That would make him number nine. And his run, his pass rush, I'm sorry, he doesn't blitz a lot. But look at his run defense. That's your tackler, Mike. That's what they do. That's what they get paid to do, man. Talk about Jimmy Ward, man.
Dre said, you see my comment. I didn't see it. So here it is. More excuses for Spoon than R. Kelly in court.
That's crazy, yo.
There you go, Dre. I posted it. Thank you, man. Appreciate
you. You paid for that one to be read.
Next time I'm going to make you donate $20 just to put your comment up. No, I'm just messing around. So, look, Jimmy Ward had a hell of a season this year, right? And, you know, I was not big on Jimmy Ward because of injuries. And I was just like, look, he has the talent, but if he can't stay healthy, like, you know, what good are you for us, right? And moving forward. So, you know, my opinion on him is Mike had, you know, Mike wants him to play corner. I think he fits better at safety. And I've talked about that. I don't know how Wayne feels because I don't think we've ever had that conversation on that. But the guy is versatile. He can play all over the place. He was on our San Francisco 49ers Instagram Live the other night. And he said that, you know, playing safety was big for him and that he was finally happy the team finally just puts him at one position. Puts him at one position in the position that he wanted to play. And he feels a lot more comfortable at safety. And he compared himself to a couple of the other guys that were in the league. And, you know, really good interview with him as well, if you guys want to check that out. But, you know, look, your safety is your staple of the defense, right? For the back end, he's your savior. He saves you for touchdowns, you know, long bombs, things like that. And Jimmy Ward was always around the play this year, always. His sideline to sideline coverage is really good. His angles are really good. You know, him playing safety put him back into a position where he felt comfortable and he really balled out this year. So much love to him and, you know, him signing that year extension as well.
Hey, Jimmy Ward is the man. The person that I was nervous about once his DB coach left was our nickel corner, and that was Kaywan Williams. And Kaywan said, Mike, shut the F up. I got this. Since then, I have not mentioned moving Ward back to nickel. I didn't want him to play left or right. I wanted him in the nickel spot. He was excellent there, so don't get me wrong.
He was excellent there.
Jimmy Ward is clearly one of the better DBs in the entire NFL. And when I say DBs, I mean all of them. He can play corner, all three of them, and he can play both safety positions. So I'm very happy.
I think that's when me and you got in an argument about K'Wan Williams. That's when I was like sticking up for him so much.
It might have been. It might have been. I definitely wanted Jimmy there. And I was like, you know, because you got to remember that he followed, what is his name? Was it Skonina? No, that was the defensive line coach. Halfley. He followed Halfley over here from Cleveland. And I was like, man, I'm not here for, you know, oh, I know this guy, so let me bring him in type of thing. But, you know, it happens. It happens. And I was happily wrong about that. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, listen, now that his DB coach is gone, he might not win that job. They might give it to Jimmy, but I love Jimmy Ward, man. I really, really do. He's a guy who is a lot like Eric Armstead. We just need to see him healthy. Let these guys get healthy, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, damn, they're actually pretty good. You know? It just takes somebody to see it before that. That's all.
And consistency at that position. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As versatile as he is, it's probably why a lot of the injuries were occurring, because we just had him all over that secondary, bro. Like, he was all over it. But since we're talking about Jimmy Ward, let's go ahead and transcend into the next guy. All right? Let's go ahead and transcend into this guy right here.
That's Tavarius Moore, right?
That's Tavarius Moore. So let's talk a little bit about him. Now, again, didn't play enough to get actually ranked, but he still was given a grade. We saw Tavarius Moore come in, man, at the beginning of the season when there were injuries to, what, Jaquiski Tartt? And they were trying to figure out who they were going to play between him and Harris. So let's talk a little bit about Tavarius Moore. 2022. Now, he's going to be here with, I think, DJ Reed.
Yep, him and DJ Reed are the guys that will be under contract following this season. Now, he didn't get, I wish we got to see him play a little bit more. He was one of the guys who actually had three passes defense this season. Three, which is pretty high. I forgot to run down the list for everybody, for you guys. Richard Sherman had 11, and he played in 15 games. Okay. Who else did we talk about? Akello Witherspoon had 9. He played in 10 games. Jimmy Ward had 8. He played in 13 games. Emmanuel Mosley had 8. He played in 16 games, but it doesn't say how many he started. So, yeah, he played in 16 games. Marcel Harris, we didn't get to him yet.
K'Wan Williams?
Tavarius Moore had 3, and he was active in all 16 because he's a special teams guy, too. So, it's interesting, man. He's got a lot of potential. He's someone that's exciting and fun to watch also. And I'm happy he's here for another season, man. Really am.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has potential, right? And we've seen him play. You know, his progression from week one to the Super Bowl was a huge difference. Like, you could see a difference in his play. I mean, and I'm talking angles. Like, one of his biggest downfalls was his angles, his approach to the ball in the air, and the way that he transitioned from the middle of the field to get to the position of the ball. And you could tell that he worked on that. You know, look, this is a guy that is going to need snaps to get better, right? He's going to need those snaps to continually grow and progress. You know, but there were some issues in his game. And obviously, you know, when you're coming in here, especially as a rookie or a young guy, you know, you're not going to take off to your full potential your first year. Right, your first year playing and getting those snaps. Now, obviously, he filled in the beginning of the year. He had a little bit of a rough game against the Steelers with angles and things like that. Obviously, Jimmy Ward came back, and he looks to be a guy to be a insurance policy for Jimmy Ward, right, in the system. So he has room to grow if he comes back. Obviously, he'll be back here till 2022. Actually, in 2022 is the year that the 49ers have an out on Jimmy Ward. So what is their little take right there? You know what I mean? He gets potential out in 2022, 2 years, $18 million. And then 2022, he makes $9,100,000. And then is an unrestricted free agent in 23. So with him being, you know, do they want to see how far Tavarius Moore grows in that position to see what the future of Jimmy Ward is after 2021? And that potential with 2022. This guy has a lot of, like I said, he has a lot of talent. He has it. He just needs to be able to put it on the field and get those snaps, and he'll continue to get better.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys, man. This guy just needs reps. It's as simple as that. The more he plays, the smarter, the more cerebral his brain is able to soak up the information. You can tell he's soaking it up. He just, like Nick pointed out, he just had some poorly ran angles that he took. And I will say this, though. When he was called upon toward the end of the season, going to, and we had to play in dime package. I think it was that Seahawks game he played in, too, right? And we were in that dime package. This kid was balling out. Like, he was balling out. And I was like, oh, snap. And, you know, I think we had him in the box. But I definitely like when he's playing free safety. He is probably going to be a ball hawk. And I'm just loving the interchangeable pieces. And this is hopefully the reason why we're not addressing the DB. We didn't address the DB position in the draft. Hopefully we're able to we're answering our own questions, because we're talking about some guys that came on that showed a lot of potential and that had production, but lack of production probably came to, you know, not just playing, not seeing the field as much because of starters. All right. Let's move on to the next guy.
Next up, that's Marcel Harris. That's right. That's right. So let me see here. He had 5 passes defense from the safety position. Now, he was the guy who filled in for Tart. A lot of people, let me change that. let me change that to the white or the red real quick. A lot of people felt that he was a liability at times during the games, but he's someone who we have to kind of temper our expectations and let him grow in the position. You know what I mean? I like him, but again, he's someone that this is it this year for. He's a guy that, you know, it's he's somebody that's getting one of these extensions. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it, Nick?
You know, I think Marcel Harris can fill in, and you know, this is somebody that you need to really watch this year to see how high the team is on Jaquiski Tartt, right? And like you said, he played a lot for Tartt when Tartt was injured this year. He has his ups and he has his downs, right? And this is a thing that comes with snaps. It's like you're going to get better with more and more snaps. We've gone back and forth with Harris on this team, right? Like, one minute he's not here, the next minute he's here. So there's obviously something the coaching staff likes in him. But, you know, he needs to get those snaps, and he needs to get, you know, those positional snaps to become better and have that growth in the system. And that's any player in general. You get more snaps, the better you get acclimated, the better you get. So I would look to see, you know, him as another 1-year deal type of, you know, free agent type signing, possibly a 1-year, 2-year deal, depending on what happens with Tartt. But he's obviously, he's one of the better safeties. He's very fast. He's fierce. He can tackle. He's not afraid of contact. And, you know, his coverage skills needs to get up a little bit better, I think, you know, personally. But, you know, overall, I think his play overall is not, you know, it's not trash. He has a lot of opportunity and a lot of ability to grow. So,
yeah, man, again, he's another player I just think needs to see the field. I just think he needs more reps at the position. Sometimes some of those reps he was getting, though, could have been costly. But let's not sit here and say he didn't make some plays and he didn't strip Lamar Jackson and do some exciting things for the 49ers. So clearly he's definitely a guy that'll be free next season. It's kind of good. And last but not least, the Pop-Tart, right? Let's talk about this guy, man. Mike, what you got?
This guy right here, man, he is someone that plays on my heartstrings so much. You know what I wish? I wish Tartt played the exact same way, just had 2 or 3 interceptions.
Right.
I think everybody would view him so different if he just had 2 or 3 picks. I promise you, because he makes phenomenal plays in coverage. You called him Pop-Tartt for a reason. He'll pop somebody quick. You know what I mean? He's an excellent box safety, but he's somebody else who has been getting bitten with the injury bug. A lot of people put a lot of blame on him for stuff also, but you know, he's someone that I have a lot of fun watching. I enjoy when he's out there. I feel more confident in the secondary group and people being in position. He's one of those leaders on the field, a guy who knows the playbook very, very well. And he's someone who can, you don't have to take him off the field at all. He can do a little bit of linebacker for you if you need him to. He can do the box safety. You can put him at free safety if you want to disguise some of your coverages, you know what I mean, and shift things around before the snap. He's one of those guys that makes the game of football a lot of fun. People may not love him, but he is definitely a chess piece for the 49ers. Him and Jimmy Ward's versatility and interchangeability is really phenomenal. It gives us a special dynamic. And we can say as much as we want about, you know, we can say as much as we want about a guy like Marcel Harris, but he doesn't have the diversity and the knowledge of the system the way Tart does yet. So that's that.
You know, I was watching this interview with Jimmy Ward last night, and something crazy that came up was, you know, Jimmy Ward and Jaquiski Tartt went to high school together, then they went to college together, you know, at the same place. And, you know, his college year, his freshman year, he got redshirted, and he was calling Ward and telling him, like, look, I'm just going to give up on football. You know, I'm done, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Jimmy's like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, you're redshirted. Like, chill out. You know what I mean? Like, type of thing. Because they were friends. And then, obviously, we know that Jimmy Ward got drafted. And then, you know, he said the next thing he knew, you know, Tart was calling him and was like, look, man, I got drafted and I'm going to be going to, you know, going to be going to the 49ers as well. And, you know, but he said that you look back at that and you just think about, you know, because the question was asked about him and Tart. And he's like, look, you know, Tart almost gave up football, like, because he was redshirted at first. And, you know, Jimmy was out there making a ton of plays and just the play time wasn't right. So it was kind of interesting to hear that. And I believe this was in, I don't know if it was football or if it was, it was high school football that it was where he got redshirted.
They played together in high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I said college too. That's my bad. You know, then they went to different schools, but this was his freshman year in football, you know, and obviously they went along and ended up getting drafted by the team, but he was upset that he got redshirted his freshman year and wanted to give up football in high school. So my bad, guys, I said college as well. Didn't mean that. I meant to pros. So, but yeah, Jaquiski Tartt is a big intricate part of this defense. I mean, you know, these grades, I don't agree with. I don't agree with these grades, 54th in defensive grade, you know, 50th in coverage grade, 53rd in run defense. Like, I don't agree with these grades at all. And
now we don't agree with them. When it was up there to Kello and I said I didn't agree with, but you see,
I didn't talk anything about grades with the Kello. I talked about his play.
I'm not talking about, you know, people are saying the same shit in the chat. You know it.
Yeah. You know, well, I talked on my opinion of Akello. You talked on your opinion of Akello. So I don't agree with these grades. I think that he plays a lot better than that. And, you know, I don't agree with all PFF numbers to be exact, but I can talk on play. And I don't think Tart played at a 60 grade, 65.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys. And it's not because, like, I'm a homer or anything like that. I mean, when he was on the field, the 49ers defense was that much more effective. We saw when he covers tight ends. He covers – he's on the box. He's there on the run. He plays better than what his grades are. I just think because of these injuries, man, like – you didn't see him as much as we saw other guys. So I don't know what the grading – I don't know why the grading was so low. I don't think he was the 54th best, you know, safety in football. I'm sure there was – he should be at least in the 20s, 30s at the latest. But it is what it is, guys. It's just a grade. Good thing about grades is, and the one thing that our guy, our guest DJ Reed talked about, he said, man, listen, man, you know, it's all about, you know, receiving constructive criticism. If you listen to him talk, all he kept saying was he wanted to get better. Like, that was his goal. Like, his goal was, I'm doing this because I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to be better. Guys need to be better. So that's amazing. That's amazing talk, man. And there you have it, man. These are our DBs, man. These are the DBs. with only two that will be with us under contract. Three that will be with us under contract for next season.
So, yeah, which would be DJ Reed.
And Tavarius Moore.
Tavarius Moore and Jimmy Ward.
Jimmy Ward has that option, correct?
No, Jimmy Ward will be here until 2023. He has an option in 2022. Gotcha. I think the date the date was wrong on that image. So I think I had the wrong date.
This was before the extension, though, right?
Yeah, that was before the extension. Okay. So that I did.
So what did we learn tonight, guys? We learned that Breezy likes the flex, but what we got from his flex was that the Niners really like their room. They love their room, and there's some guys in there. And like we said, expect some extensions, man. Expect some extensions, and those that they can extend, whether it be for cap reasons or maybe they think there's better fit somewhere else, or maybe someone who's going to be a free agent thinks that there's a better fit for him somewhere else. You know, all of those things can happen. When free agency rolls around, you are not obligated to sign with that team. And in the event that that happens, we may lose two or three of these guys. But I do think that we're going to sign some of these guys and keep them here. So I'm really excited about it. And that, you know what? This is going to be the last thing I'm going to say on the show tonight. My final thought. It's dangerous, in a good way, to have this many players on one-year contracts. Everybody out there has to ball because their next paycheck, their next guaranteed contract depends on it. This secondary is going to be scary.
Yeah, we talk about contract years every year, and players always boost their play in contract years, right? So, we talked about it tonight. We've covered it all. You know, you heard DJ say himself that this room is just filled with dogs. It's stacked. Like, you may not know about Tez Tabor, and you may not know about this guy. And, KK, and, you know, just things like that. And, you know, this shows you that the players have the confidence in their coaches, as well as the coaches have confidence in who they have here and what the years are going to bring. And, you know, we don't know what those extensions are going to be. We don't know if Richard Sherman's going to come back. We don't know if Jason Verrett makes a comeback. We don't know if Emmanuel Mosley, you know, steps up, or Tavarius Moore or Jaquiski Tartt. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. But as of right now, we do know one thing. These 49ers are returning, you know, 30 or I don't even know how many players it was, but we'll just say, 20 players of the 22 that started in the Super Bowl, and it just starter wise. And this team is in Super Bowl win mode now. And that's really what we can say about this year. Big shout out to DJ for joining us tonight as well. And, super excited to bring the next show and see what we got, man. You guys got to always stay tuned in, man. You never know who's going to pop in.
Facts. Great show, guys. Another one in the books. Can't wait to do it again. Man, it's us all 49ers here, man. I love it, man. Definitely love interacting with you guys out there too, man. So keep yourselves tuned in, man. Make sure you hitting that like and that subscribe button, man, because I'm watching you.
Yo, and when he says he's watching you, he's probably really watching you. So, but that's it for me, man. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate the appreciate all you guys following us. Appreciate you, Mike. Appreciate you, Breezy. Tony, wish you could have joined us tonight as well. But that's all I got for the night, man.
Yeah, man. Let's take this home.
Prepare for glory.
Anticipate pain.
But always remain faithful.
We out of here.
Peace.